Thank you very much. So hello everyone. We have received three apologies from Martin, Alejandra and Eduardo. Unfortunately, they are not with us today. But we have all the other people on the call, so hopefully we'll have a very productive meeting. And we'll start with the easiest one. Easiest not because of the content, but because from the organizational point of view, because all the changes are in one document, and it's on Google Docs. So could we please switch? Yeah. So some news that we have here. We have included the part that David proposed. Okay. How can we proceed? Yeah, we have some changes. Bart went through the ARZERC charter and updated some parts of the document in the beginning of the first section of the document. We also have a couple of changes there. Here we had anonymous comment from Eduardo about the email list. So we have here addition to relevant email list. And the idea here is that it's not that we are looking only for CCTLD people. We're looking for anyone who is willing to serve, and if they are backed up by CCTLD, then they can apply. And that's why we will ask ROs also to distribute the call so that we can potentially reach out to as many people as possible. Wait a minute. Does this look okay to you? If we add relevant email lists, or you think we need something more here? If it's okay, then we just resolve Eduardo's anonymous comment. Is it okay? Okay, I don't see any. It's okay with David, and apparently, Martin also agreed. Okay, I resolved this comment. Here on the next page, last paragraph. Yeah, thank you. Very good. No, too much. Could we go back a little bit back? Thank you. So here we have this, the part suggested by David, with some changes. Sorry, David. The Secretariat won't respond to the questions, therefore we have added here to relay the question to the relevant people as quickly as it's practicable and to the extent that it is able to respond. And then we publish all the comments. So, David, are you okay with... Okay, David David agrees with the amendment. Then here, this is the part that is not addressed yet, so here I'd like to ask Bart. I'm sure we didn't have that in the CSC guideline. We sent it only to non-conflicted counselors. Here we also have non-conflicted representatives from the regional organizations. Is there a reason for that? They are not voting on the...
No, I missed that one. It's more that I haven't included it as far as I recall.
Well, I'm sure you did, because it couldn't appear there all by itself.
In that case, it's a mistake. It doesn't make sense. It's councillors who vote, and the... and the information is only sent, say, if you would look at the selection procedure internally, what you normally see is there is, say, a note from the secretary to the councillors how the selection procedure runs, and then the information is sent to individual councillors and only to the non-conflicted councillors. So this could be deleted.
Yeah. So I think we resolve and delete the part about, because it clearly, I could not address it during last call.
Yeah.
I thought it's not, does not belong there, and it does not. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Next one is 5.1, the first criteria there. So I changed it, and I used the wording from the call. I don't know how to call the document. Well, if you look online, the ARZAC charter is currently published. And it contains no mentioning of any skill sets required whatsoever. The only thing they mentioned, they ask for a strong overall understanding of the root zone. And that's not in the charter itself. It's in the document that they sent to, what was the name of the document called?
The request, application.
Yeah, yes, request for applications. So it was there. I changed it a little bit. So at this moment, it reads strong overall understanding of the root zone in order to review issues relating to the architecture and operational systems of the DNS root zone. Provide recommendations to the ICANN board to ensure the security, stability, and resiliency of the root zone. So. We can remove the last part about in order to review blah, blah, blah. We can leave only a strong overall understanding of the root zone. But I think this clarifies a little bit what is expected from the participants. So, Bart, you have your hand up.
Yes. Say, I've looked at this, and maybe Katrina, it's good to point out that, say, the skill set as documented here may be updated from time to time, for example, to align with future ICANN requests for appointments. So it's not stable, but we need to do something at this stage, or the GRC and the CCNSO need to do something at this stage, but it's not in concrete, so it may change over time, and there is, say, it's effectively stated in the guideline itself.
Yes, sorry, I forgot to mention. Yeah, there's a little addition to the initial paragraph in this section, but yeah, of course it may change, but the main idea still remains the same, and we expect our representative to be knowledgeable in this area. David, please.
Thank you, Katrina. It's David McCauley speaking. Excuse me. I like the clarification. I just have one question about it, and that is where it says relating to the architecture and operational systems for the DNS, I wonder if it might be better to say architecture, operational systems, and other pertinent aspects of the DNS systems, just in case there's something beyond architecture and operations, maybe administration or something like that, so that we want to be comprehensive.
Yeah, well,
Thank you.
Is the wording they used in the request for application, so, or whatever was the name. So,
okay.
Of course, we can make it even clearer. But we'll definitely need somebody to... Okay, maybe we can do it now. Could you repeat, please, David? Related to the architecture.
Comma, operational systems.
Yes.
And other pertinent aspects of
other?
The DNS. Yes, and other pertinent aspects of the DNS.
How do you spell that word?
Whoops, my screen's... There it is. And other pertinent is P-E-R-T-I-N-E-N-T. Or relevant. Relevant aspects.
Maybe let's use the word relevant.
Okay, that's fine with me.
Let's not make it too complicated for non-native speakers.
So, and other relevant aspects.
Oh, yeah, aspects. For of.
Yeah, no, and that's it. That would be my suggestion.
Yep.
Thank you, Katrina.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, David. Okay, so are we good with this? I see no other objections here. Yes, it's okay with Stephen, and okay with Martin. For the next comment here, I changed these relevant communities, blah, 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 to consult with the CCNSO and the CCTLD community. Does it address the... Well, if you remember, it used to say it was very general text, meaning all the possible communities. It addresses the comments, so we resolve them. And what else do we have here? I think it's more or less it. Could we go to the Annex A? Annex A. A little bit higher. I'll change the wording there. And here I also added, as you see here, during the period in which the call, added the paragraph suggested by David, just removed the part about the secretariat. So we just have it in the expression of interest so people can see that they can submit their questions and are encouraged to do it early in the process. So this is, I think that's basically it. We do not have any other comments to address here. So if it's fine, I'll just fine-tune it and, make sure that all the requirements we mentioned in the text of the guideline are also mentioned in the annex, somebody could have the final look, and if it's okay, so we can finalize it, because we need to send it to the CCNSO Council on Wednesday, or Thursday morning is the latest. Okay, so David could have the final look. Thank you very much. I'll send it Word document to you. Thank you very much. Okay, Ben also. I'll send to David and to Ben both, so that we can have can be sure that everything is fine. Okay. If no more comments about ARZERC guidelines, so we move to the next one, and this is going to be a little bit complicated. Oh no, this is not complicated. This is the easiest one. We had some comments on this from David. They were incorporated, and Ben had the final look on this document, and so this seems that we have no more comments on this document, and we can send it to the council on Wednesday. So, are we okay with that? We looked at it, 3 or 4 weeks ago. Okay, maybe even more, a month ago. But at this point, I think it's okay. Any comments, anything? Okay, sounds fine to David as well. Okay, so we sign this off as well. Oh, good. Listen, almost two guidelines completed. We're really very productive today, just as I mentioned in the beginning of the of the call. Okay, next document. This is going to be tricky because we received several comments and we did not have time to put them all into one document. Okay, so we have a couple of changes.
Katrina?
Yes.
This is
yes.
Bart. The only comments that are not included are the latest one from Christelle.
I'm sure. Did you include the comments from Dejan?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, that's good. Okay, then only one.
And Christelle's comment is maybe Christelle, you can allude to them.
I have it open, so I'll just close all the other ones. I have only that one we have in the. Yeah. Okay. Very good then. Unclear if long not complete session is limited. Okay. What do we have there, Bart? Could you?
This was a question. Excuse me. If you would look at the current bylaws, section 4.6, the way it's structured, it's in 4.6 A. Section 1, let me scroll up to it. Where am I? Yeah. It states the operating standards must be aligned with the following guidelines. And then the colon, I believe it's called. And then you go from A, B, C, but you can interpret, say, the guideline, following guidelines as the next session or the full section, say that the full section 4.6 that follows. So that's 4.6 A, B, C, D, and E. So the whole text of section 4.6 is the guideline or other guidelines, or it's just, excuse me, 4.6 A. And then it's getting complicated. 1, A, B, and C. I have no clue what they mean. What's the scope of what is meant with aligned with the following guidelines? So my suggestion is this is more, and I can ask it, this is more a question for probably ICANN Legal, what they really mean by this, or what is meant by this. Because it has an impact on say, this guide, on the CC&O guideline itself as well, and in future, the operating standards. Sorry for complicating life.
No, but you have solution, the solution is to ask ICANN Legal. I can't think of any other way to address this.
Yeah, I don't know if say it's just me. That's more my concern.
Okay.
David has his hand up.
David, please.
Thanks, Katrina and Bart. It's David McCauley. I'm looking at the 4.6AI right now, and even though the three subsections, capital A, B, and C, they appear to be what the bylaws talking about, but I see Bart's point. It's not as clear as it ought to be, and so I think Bart's suggestion of asking for clarification is not a bad idea. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So this is apparently an action point. So Bart, could you please contact ICANN Legal and ask for clarification? But apparently...
And I will get back as soon as possible. As one, this is clear. So it doesn't have a direct impact, but it might have, because it's only around the operational standards. But we'll see. It's good to know.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much, Bart. Okay, let's move to... okay, Dejan's comment. It's about three general information. So Dejan recommends that we should add a few words about how CC&SO receives feedback from its member during the work. members. Actually, there are several, could be several of them, doing their work of RT. How is this information usually distributed? What's the process, normal?
To date, we haven't defined a process.
No, I mean, normally when they have some reviews.
Normally, if there is a review, the review team or the CCNSO appointed members ask a slot on the members' day.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they provide feedback and sometimes they don't. It also depends a bit on the review itself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, in that case I think we can add some wording around that. Should it go under general information or maybe? Maybe it's easier to put it here. Okay, that's another action point. So we add wording about how we receive feedback from our members on specific review teams. Okay, let's move forward. So we had a comment. No, we didn't have a comment here. Okay, yes, we had a comment from Ben. He asked if we should add and to the CCNSO Council here. So, and Bart's comment here is that well, this is a specific clause about how our members on a specific review team participate in the work of the particular review team, so that they this is internal matter of the team. Ben, does it address your concern, or you still think that we need to ask for our members on the team to inform us? This is apparently it is supposed to be something internal. Martin, you have your hand up. Ben says it addressed his concern. Martin?
Thanks, Katrina. Can you hear me?
Yes,
hello.
We do. Martin, go ahead. We can hear you very clearly.
Thank you. I can see a good reason why, if there is a conflict of interest, it perhaps would be advisable for the CCNSO Council to be informed separately, and that is that if the conflict of interest is really significant and serious, then perhaps the CCNSO Council does need to consider whether that particular nominee should be replaced by the CCNSO Council. And so I wonder whether just maintaining the reference back to the CCNSO Council is a useful thing to have, even if it were just to be to keep the CCNSO Council informed. That just seems to me to be relevant, that if the CCNSO appointed person is not able to do their job in an area which is of critical interest to the CCTLD community and to the CCNSO in particular, then that is something that people should be aware of. Thank you.
Thank you, Martin. David, Oh, no, wait, before David starts speaking. Bart, would you like to address Martin?
Martin, I do understand your point. Maybe it's a solution to include it as a subsection or a specific case on the removal of a candidate or as one of the circumstances under which a member could be removed by the CCNSO Council. Because I think you, and this is more that as a result of something like the chair of that party, so the reason for excluding is you want to avoid that each time there is a conflict of interest, the CCNSO Council is informed. Because it could be for very minor matters, etc., and for maintaining it. I think conflict of interest is first and foremost an internal RT matter. Thank you.
Thank you, Bart. David?
Thank you, Katrina. It's David McCauley. I think I agree with everything that Ben, Martin, and Bart have said. I think it's important. I just want to say I think it's important because even though a conflict of interest should be sort of flushed out in the application process, these review teams last long enough that a conflict can arise midterm based on something that the review team uncovered that wasn't seen when the applications were being made. And so I thank Ben. I think it's an important concept that we ought to address, and that's all I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Okay, I think it's a good suggestion by Bart to proceed the way suggested that we have a separate section so that we do not overwhelm the council with a minor conflict of interest in a particular discussion. But if there are some significant concerns and if our member cannot continue, then definitely should inform the council. So let's proceed by introducing a new subsection with this specific clause. That's another item on our action list. And let's go back. Sorry, I missed Christelle's comment. It was on section 2, where we refer to ICANN bylaws. So she proposed to add the date of the adoption. So ICANN bylaws adopted 27 May 2016, so that we know which ICANN bylaws we're talking about. We haven't done it for other guidelines, but I see the point here. Bart?
Christelle, maybe, I don't know, this is more a question, so there is no concern of including it, but say in the first sentence, in the introduction and background, there is already a reference to the date of adoption.
That's a fair point. And I think if we, refer to it in the first section, there's no need to repeat it every time we mention ICANN bylaws. So let's leave it as it is. Thank you. So let's go forward. It's 4.2. So we have another comment from Dejan. I think it's useful to mention here that if CCNSO decide not to participate, community member is free to apply as an independent expert for RT membership. Any comments on that? I'm not so sure that each maybe there are for specific review teams you can have independent experts Or maybe it's for a particular, defined for each particular review team. Okay, David is not so sure. Okay, any other? Bart, maybe you could clarify what's the normal procedure if a particular
As far as I know, and that's the interesting, because say if you look at the review teams as they function right now, they are established under the AOC, and the appointment and selection is done completely differently. It's now there is a general application, and it's more that some people say they're from a particular community and that's vetted and that's it. It's now turned round, say the it's the responsibility of the chair of the GAC and the chair of either the CEO or the chair of the board to appoint members on a review team. Now that mechanism has changed completely with the new bylaws. So there is no precedent with respect to appointment of outsiders or those who are not through the SOAC. I'm just checking the bylaws, the new bylaws, whether there is room for these experts and whether they can come from a SOAC not participating. So that's probably a good question.
I think if those who are interested to participate, in case the CCNSO decides not to, they can certainly find out if there is such a possibility for each particular specific review team. So maybe it's not so necessary to mention it here anyway. It does not depend on us. But in any case, we describe in this guideline, we describe what the CCN is so supposed to do, and not what we cannot influence other communities or say what others can do or not. Okay, Martin.
Thanks, Katrina. I've got a vague recollection here that certainly there was a discussion about what happens if a particular community does not put forward candidates for a review team. And my recollection was, my memory is very, very faint on this point, was that if they're not put somebody forward because it's not a particularly relevant review for that community, then other communities might be able to take the slots that have been left vacant by, in our case, the CCNSO not putting somebody forward. And that sort of leaves me a little bit sort of uneasy about what does that really mean when it comes to somebody putting themselves forward separately, as this particular clause seems to be suggesting, so I'm just feeling a little bit nervous, and I really do think we probably have to go back to looking at what the original wording said, and how that's been interpreted into the bylaws. Thank you.
Thank you. Martin, if I'm not mistaken, the bylaws say that a particular community can submit up to 7 names, and decide not to appoint at least 3 members, then chairs may decide whether to extend the number of members on the review team, and if they decide to do that, then they can select those candidates from more than three. When, for example, we submit seven names, then the chairs may decide which what skill set is required for the review team and select those people on top of those who are selected by default. Oh, that's how I understand the wording in the bylaws. So not I do not remember anything about some independent experts from ICANN community, a broad ICANN community. So maybe let's leave the...
Katrina, I've quoted the section from the bylaws in the chat.
Yeah, so that's what it says, yeah. If any supporting organization or advisory committee has not nominated at least three prospective review team members, the chairs of the supporting organization and advisory committee shall be responsible for the determination of whether all 21 member seats shall be filled, and if so, how the seats should be allocated from among those nominated. Yeah, so I do not see any reference to independent experts. Therefore, maybe let's not include this wording into the guideline. Because, again, even if we say so, but the bylaws or orders, some, well, I don't know, rules of these specific review teams do not foresee such opportunities. There's actually no point for that. Okay, maybe move forward. Okay, I don't see any objections, so let's leave this out. Ben said that there's a need for clarity, and clearly some clarity is provided. Ben, are you happy with this? Yep, okay, Ben is happy. Okay, Bart posted another quote.
To what, say, with respect to David, that's it.
Okay, so if it's requested, so of course they can participate.
Katrina, just to close the final open end on that one, I think because it's stated this way, that it's more an action of the review teams themselves to solicit and select independent experts, there is no role for the CCNSO to make a call for nomination or allow others to apply directly. Effectively, there is no role. So if the review team decides it may need a CCTLD manager as an independent expert, it should reach out to the CCTLD community, maybe using the CCNSO, but not say the CCNSO is not in a position to enable this, facilitate this, or decline this. So including it in the selection and nomination of members for review teams probably confuses the role of the CCNSO with respect to appointing the members of the review team and with the the process initiated by the review teams and further detailed in the operating standards. So my advice would be to exclude it altogether, every reference to the independent experts from this guideline.
Yep, okay, thank you. That's a fair point. Personally, I agree, and I see no disagreement in the chat room. Okay, thank you. Ben also said it. The addition clarified. So we have addressed his comment. Let's scroll down. What else do we have here? Some new numbering. Okay. Here we have some we have some proposed corrections here from Bart. Bart, anything you'd like to comment?
The only thing what I've done, and this is probably, if you would compare it to the CSC guideline, I've moved a bit around the or separated to, sorry, the eligibility, and I've separated the two processes only if you have three seats to fill and others. That's all. Sorry.
Okay, thank you. We're now on new section 5 and moving to, well, apparently, well, maybe we do not have much to discuss here. I see that most of the members of DRC think that we should have the right to select the three seats that we definitely have on the review team. So let's move forward here to the new section number 6. We have some changes in the wording. Not the candidate not accepted but agrees to be bound by this provision. And then we have the part about if the chair of the review team have the right to request the removal of the review team member nominated by the CCNSO. And we have Bart's comment that it is not in the bylaws. However, one could argue that by putting name forward through CCNSO process, one implicitly accepts the guideline, and hence that one could be removed from the RT. Well, I think the council has the right to remove the person anyway. Okay, we can have this part about requests from the chair of the review team. Okay, let's move to section number 7. And I think here we had the most of the disagreement, at least Bart said he did not understand that. Which comment you did not understand, Bart? I'll try to explain mine. We can select up to 7 candidates, and we appoint the top 3. We consider that they must be on the review team, but we still have 4 more. And if others do not appoint 3 members to the team, the chairs may decide to still have 21 member on the team, and then select those from the rest of the pool of the candidates. They can select the ones who they find most fit for the purpose for the work. So if we agree that if we have 3 seats, then we select these 3 members, top members on the review team, and if somebody of these members just decides to discontinue the service, then definitely we should have the right to select the replacement for that person. But if the chairs select somebody above, more than above the threshold of 3 seats, then perhaps it's not upon us to select the replacement for that person. That was my the idea of my comment. I'm not sure if I made it clearer this time, Bart.
Yeah, I think I understand, but I'm looking at the text right now. If I understand correctly, what you're saying is, say, normally you would have only, say, if all SOs and ACs would appoint their full slot of members, you would have 21 members. Each SO and AC would appoint 3 members. End of story, which effectively means even if we have 10 candidates from the community, the top 3 will be put on the specific review team. That's the ground rule, the basic rule.
Yes.
However, and this is the second rule, if one of the SOs and ACs decide not to participate or only with a limited number of people, then the next slate on the, or say, additional CCNSO members or CCNSO appointed members may come into play. These will be taken from, say, if you would look at the CCNSO list, from members 4 to however which number, number 10
seven.
Or number 7.
Yep.
And the chair of the CCNSO and the other chair should be free to pick one of those 4 members.
Yes.
Or alternatively, you could say, again, all members to be appointed in order of preference by the SO or by the as selected by the CCNSO Council. That's the debate.
The debate here is that if somebody of those 3 members that have been selected, if somebody steps down, then yes, we have the right to appoint a new member.
Yeah.
But if somebody, if the chairs look at the, or somebody, some other community did not appoint 3 members,
yeah.
So we have some additional slot, and the chairs selected somebody from 4 to 7 to fill
yeah.
in those seats. And if that person steps down, I'm not sure we have a say. It's not a slot for the CCNSO. It's a slot for, ensure diversity
in principle, it is. It depends on, unless, and this goes back to section, blah, blah, blah. I just read it, section. So initially, your initial point is if any supporting organization advisory committee has not nominated at least 3 prospective review team members. So that's at the start of the process. The chairs of the supporting organizations and advisory committee shall be responsible for the determination of whether all 21 SOAC member seats shall be filled. That's the first decision.
Yeah.
And then, if so, how these seats should be allocated from among those nominated. Now, the first question, going back to what you just said, is could the chairs reassign or reallocate the number of seats during the work of a review team? That's the first step. Only in that case, if somebody would step down, your scenario would step in. If you assume that they could not, then it's still by the CCNSO to determine who will fill, or by the SOs and ACs chairs from the CCNSO list, who will be the next candidate if one is steps down or is removed.
I definitely disagree. I think it's the wrong process, because that is not the CCNSO has only 3 assigned seats.
Yeah, but if they are
and
all
if we get something above those 3 seats, it's not because
yeah.
of the CCNSO, it's because of the person who, for example, we need to, if there's a review team on on painting, and we have excellent candidates on painting, but then somebody did not appoint a person, painting person, but so chairs decide that, yes, okay, we need to, we still want to have 21 member on the team, And then they look at the remaining pool of the all the candidates. And they find, for example, there's one from the CCNSO who is very good in colors. So they decide, okay, there's very good to have not only painters, but somebody who understands something from colors. And then they see there's somebody else from the GNSO who is very good with canvas or whatever, with brushes and selecting brushes. So they take that one on board. So if our three painters step down, then we have the right to select the one we want. But if there's somebody above these three seats, if they are selected for some specific skill set, this is not the seat for the CCNSO. It's the seat for somebody with brushes. Or, I don't know, I'm not sure I make myself clear, but I see David's hand is up. Maybe he has something to say. Yes, please, David.
Hi. It's an interesting point, and I think, Katrina, you and Bart make good points. I agree with you, Katrina. And where I'm reading from is in the bylaws. It's section 4.6, A, small I, and then section B under that says, any supporting organization or advisory committee nominating at least one, two, or three prospective members shall be entitled to have those one, two, or three nominees selected. So it seems to me that those first three are CCNSOs. Then paragraph C says, if any supporting organization or advisory committee has not nominated at least three prospective members, then the chairs of the supporting organizations and advisory committees shall be responsible for the determination of whether all 21 seats are filled. They'll draw from a pool, and we will have nominated people into that pool, slots 4 through 7, let's call them. And so I don't think that's a CCNSO selection. I think that's a selection by a joint group of chairs of supporting organizations and advisory committees. And so even though we nominate them, I think the selection is made by someone else, and so we don't own those seats. So I agree with you, Katrina. Thank you.
Thank you, David. You put it in very concise and short speech. So, yeah, I totally agree with you, David. I think those three seats, those are ours, and everything above that, it's not ours. It's just a decision of the chairs of SOAs, and if they decide to give it to candidates from the CCNSO, that's fine. We're very happy about that. But if that person steps down, we do not have a say on how to replace it. It still will be should be up to the chairs to decide who is going to replace that person. Or they can decide not to replace it at all.
Yeah. Okay.
Bart gave up. It means he will have another cup of coffee to calm down. Yeah, okay. How are we going to change the wording here? Okay, perhaps won't do it now. We'll just have to be more careful and check it. And again, if we appoint only one person... Okay, then it's not a problem. We still have only one seat. Okay, I think that is it. We do not have any more comments on the document. We have Annex A, a call for expression of interest that is completely empty. Could we... Either we remove Annex A and all the references to this annex, or we just come up with something here. Bart, any? Do you have any examples?
No, it's. If you look at the text and the way we dealt with it, is saying, look, Annex and the call for expression will be filled in once there is a request to send out or to participate, in which case, by then it's more the call for expression needs to be proposed by the CCNSO council or direct the secretariat to do so. So I wouldn't include it at all. makes it more confusing.
Yes, I agree. So let's remove this and all the references to Annex A. Whew. Okay, we've gone through this document. Have a lot of things to improve here, but to be honest, I'm not very optimistic that we could finish it by Wednesday. So this document apparently won't be in the package we're going to send to the council. Probably in 2 weeks. Bart, how does it look on the timeline? Are we okay if we send it to the council into...
Yes, probably. My suggestion would be, as a next step, is at least allude council to that it's coming. Maybe even explain some of the issues, or not even, say the main drift, and then expect and ask them to vote on it by email, as was done in the past. This guideline needs to be in place by, I would say, the 1st of October. So we do have some time, and say we do not need to send out a call for expression of interest based on this one. So
that is true. Yes. That's the best part of it. We'll need to send out a call for expression of interest for our ZERC membership, but not for this one. So at this point, there's no significant impact if we do not adopt it on 1st September, but good to have it as soon as possible. Okay, so that's about this document.
Katrina, just to put a little bit of say, make it a little bit urgent, is it needs to be in place probably by the 1st of October. So, say if it would be done in 2 weeks, then council needs about a week to read it, and then a week of council vote. So that would be mid-September. So it's probably, it needs to be done by in 2 weeks' time, because then it's adopted in 4 weeks, which is mid of September, which is well in time for 1st of October, but it would be good to have it in place by then.
Yeah, thank you. The problem is that on 5th September I'm traveling. I will be on a business trip. Not sure about internet connectivity there, if it will be good enough for me to join the call. Will you have a call without me, or we try to finalize it online, let's say? I'll just try to incorporate all the changes we discussed today and then send it to the group so that everybody could read it and comment. So, any... So? Okay. Yeah, of course, we could have a special call on 2nd September, for example. But it will be might not be so easy to get everyone on the call, because Mondays are more or less... So let's proceed. We'll send it to the list, and everybody will have... We'll have some time to respond and comment on the document. And plus 5th September is a holiday in the U.S. anyway. Let's proceed like that. Next steps. We promised the... let's start with another question. Are there any documents that we need to have in place by 1st October because of the changes and transition and anything? Bart?
This document should be in place. The empowered community should be in place. And depending, and say the board selection or nomination as well, the language need to be adjusted. And I think that's about it. I think we've covered the most urgent ones.
Well done. But there are still many others that we need to address. Apparently we won't have time to change the guideline for council elections before the next round of elections. That's one thing. But anyway, it's on the list. Then there's another thing that we promised to look into the travel funding guideline.
Katrina, may I suggest that for the next call, say when this is done, we revisit the total list of guidelines that need to be done, including that were already on the on the plate of the GRC, but also those that need to be done in order to deal with the specific aspects for around the empowered community, etc. Because I'd say there is a lot of work that flows from the new bylaws which we have not listed yet, but or not even touched upon yet, but that need to be done and need to be in place at one point.
Okay, I think that's a very good suggestion. We definitely need to do that. We need to remember everything we started before we were thrown at all the documents we needed because of the transition. But we need to set a date for the next call. So again, 5th of September is not okay for me. Can we? Should we have next 2 weeks, or we can have 4 weeks without calls? Could be too long. What about 12th September? Okay, it's okay for David, okay for Martin, for Ben. Okay, Stephen will be traveling. I'm traveling to APTLD on Tuesday, so I'll see you there. But apparently you decided to leave earlier. Dejan, are you going to travel to APTLD that day? Okay, you it's okay for you two, not that you two are traveling. Okay. I'm not so sure that I'm... maybe I am closer to Bangkok than Stephen. Okay, so 12th September, unfortunately without Stephen, but same time, and hopefully it will work for those people who could not join us today. So I think very productive meeting. We signed off two guidelines, so it's very, very good meeting. So thank you very much for your hard work, for all your comments and active participation. And see you in 3 weeks, and definitely on the mailing list. I hope that we'll finish the review teams as soon as possible. So thanks, and see you all on the call, and have a great time, and very productive, just as productive the rest of the day. Thank you, and bye-bye.